Welcome back to the Better Than Best Academy. To you listening or watching today, you're in for a treat. My guest is the founder of Faith and Sparkle World. And I won't say too much. I'll let her share her story. Her name is Delisa. I would love for you to just kind of share a little bit about your personal journey and what led you to becoming so passionate about cultivating confidence in kids and self-empowerment.
Oh, well, you know, thank you so much for having me here and welcome everybody that is listening. The company actually started because of my daughter, Faith. She is 6 now, but at the time, my mom was actually going through cancer, and her and our dog Sparkle, they were there helping her and supporting her. And that experience led her, after my mom's recovery from after all the treatments, to identify as a superhero doctor. And of course, the word of God, we would pray. She saw us as a family praying and as individuals praying. All of these things played such a huge factor and role of how she saw herself on this journey. And it started off with the books. And recently, now I am co-founder. She originally founded it. We've expanded the business, where I serve educators and parents in particular to raise confident kids, both in the classroom and at home. And that passion stems from, you know, my journey, one as a veteran, one as a teacher, as an instructor, a researcher, as well as a parent, applying all the things that I learned in the journey into our home.
I love that. I love that. It sounds like you've got such an interesting perspective and take on the world. And I love that it was your daughter that started this for you. And you said it. So does she write books? I know I did a little bit of research before we started. So was it her books that first started that?
Absolutely. It was her books, Superhero Faith and Dr. Faith, because she started with I'm a Superhero Doctor. And in the books, it's just her sharing her real life experience, what she did as a young girl to be a superhero, which was helping her grandmother at that time, and all the books in the series. So Superhero Faith and Dr. Faith, even Astronaut Faith, coming up next year. That is, you know, that theme of kindness and compassion. Kindness and compassion were superheroes. You matter. Your voice matters. What you do matters. And that's what she wanted to share with children. And she wanted it to be a real book. And then she wanted it to be a real business. And I was like, who are you? You're like 3 years old. Slow down.
I love it. That's so cool and so inspiring, her at such a young age. And the fact that it was inspired by, you said it was your mom, right? Your mom had cancer. And just out of that, she was inspired to become this superhero doctor. And even just y'all's faith in general played such a big part. I'm curious to hear a little bit more about. So obviously your faith was a big part of this journey. But yeah, just tell us a little bit more about your story in general. I know I kind of jumped right in with this, where you got started. I would love for you to just kind of take us a little bit slower into your own journey of what got you started in this. And maybe even if you want to take us back a little earlier in your life. The beauty of this podcast is I like to just take it to where my guest wants to take it in their journey and kind of stem off of that. Because, I mean, I have a list of questions I totally could ask you. But I'd love to hear a little bit more about you and what makes you come alive in this space that you're in.
Oh, that's such a good question. And that deserves, like, you know, we're going to be here for days. We could be here. But I'll try to get it. You know, for many years. So I joined the military at a young age for school, and I went to university. But even before that, having faith in God, understanding who I am, whose I am as well, that played a huge role. And my parents obviously played a huge role and in their belief and their faith. So they knew of God, they had a relationship with God, but not to the extent that they do now, because having that relationship, like anything, is such a journey. So I had to learn who God was, being in a setting that is extremely masculine, and you have to be able to use your voice. And if you are in which I was, like, then it was you have to have a certain strength. And if you don't have the strength, you're gonna sink real quick. If you don't know who you are, it's gonna be challenging, extremely hard. And if you don't know how to communicate, that is also very tough. So a lot of things that I was working on there, communication, being able to use your voice. And the biggest one is your identity and your identity and understanding who you are. So when you're going through those times and situations, you understand, you know, am I out of alignment here or am I not out of alignment? So that was the first real test of me being out on my own, still going to university, finishing the program in humanities, and then remaining true to myself, right? And it was not perfect, let me tell you. Fast forward to now I'm teaching, I'm instructing both in the church, in the church as well as in the military. So I was very active in my church as well. And I found that there were some adults and teenagers. I was there. I was teaching both Red Force and the reserves. And I found like there were people in the reserves that would come in and highly intelligent. Some of them are having like massive degrees, but they couldn't understand certain things. Like certain concepts were just very easy, but they needed that guidance. And this is where the foundation that I spoke about, that communication, knowing myself, all those things, it came into play. So as well as my work in the church and teaching and my teaching in the community, how that played a part in helping them to like gain that confidence within themselves, helping them to know that it's okay. Don't worry about if you failed at something, you can always try again. I know that we're in high intense situation, but you know, we're not there yet. Let's take it slowly. You're here to learn. And I started to find that other instructors, when they would get frustrated, they would like say, no, you teach this class or you take them in your group. I can't. And it was like, what do you mean you can't? These are people. And all you're doing is just having a conversation. You're connecting with them. You're guiding them and teaching them. This is what you're supposed to do as a teacher. So that is how that journey started. Once I retired, I got a post-grad in research analyst, and I was working in corporate, and you know, so all of those skills compounded. And when I became pregnant, that's when all of the things came together as one, because I stopped and I looked, hey, what schools are the best schools in my area? And I have to think, how did parents raise their children? So I looked at the ancient ones. I looked at different cultures. I looked at even different faiths. What are they doing? How is it that some kids are successful, some kids don't? How, like all of these things, I looked at I'm a Christian, and I was like, you know, how did I apply the word to my life, and how can I do that? And from that moment of like finding out I was pregnant, every single thing else played a part. So in terms of like, not only my prayer life, but what is she listening to? What am I ingesting? Not just the physical food, but the spiritual food as well. And also thinking, well, what type of child is she going to be? Now, we all don't know these things, right? I can be like, Lord God, just send someone that's absolutely perfect. Is that going to happen? No. Make sure she don't give me no stress.
Come on. That's so funny.
Yeah. So, but it was so great that it was really nice to be able to take the word and apply it and get into the word of God. And when she was born, when she was sleeping, I would fill the house with soaking music and prayer and the word of God. And so by the time she was two, all of a sudden, the things that was prayed over her life that I physically prayed and the things that was in our environment, I'm seeing the fruits of it. She's going to school, because she was ready for that. And then at 3 years old, now the books came out. I'm a superhero doctor. God told me this is what I'm supposed to do. Even in the book, she wanted to share about her journey with God. And then in the end, she's like, I want to thank God. That's the first question. She's like, I thank God, because I'm asking her all of these questions. And she came out just knowing. She came out just in this confidence. And of course, I still have to guide her and direct her, because she is a child. But the work that was done while I was pregnant, after I gave birth, up until this point and into the future, all of that played such a huge factor, and it will help every parent. Even now, you start instilling it and you will see a transformation in your children's lives 100%.
Come on. I was sitting here taking notes because there was so many things that I wanted to glean from your story. Oh, man, I'm trying to think back to where we could start because there's so many different ways we can go. Like the fact that you were in the military, you were in the corporate world. And I love that how you brought your faith, and that was kind of your anchor when you stepped into this military space where it's very men driven and communication is so important. And there's so many places I could go with this, but I'm curious to I'll start here. I have, like, I was just writing question after question as you were talking, but I'm curious. So you went through the military space, you went into corporate, and then now you're into this new journey of entrepreneurship, right? So I'm curious, what was the biggest lessons from the military and from working in corporate do you think that is helping you succeed in what you're doing now?
Foundation and structure, or just foundation. If you just want one thing, it's foundation.
I love that. I love that. And it's so important. I love how you said the foundation is key. What is one practical thing you could say to someone listening? So maybe they're a parent, but also in that entrepreneur space. What is that one practical tip you could give them to help start building that foundation in themselves and in their kids? Like, I love how you mentioned, like, empowering your daughter with praying over her and reading scriptures with her and seeing where she is now. So I'm curious, what are some ways that you would encourage us as parents to empower our kids to succeed?
Best place to start, if even if your prayer life may not be as strong, even if it is strong, putting on some worship and praise music. That is such a great place to start. Perhaps you're not into the Bible study as in depth, or maybe you are, but let's say you're not into Bible study. Just having the music in the home changes and shifts your environment, and subconsciously, when you start going into the spirit now, it's like your spirit becomes awake and your children's spirit becomes awake. And all of a sudden, now, in the beginning, it might be a little tension, like, oh, why do I have to listen to this? But then all of a sudden, because of that shift, the communication starts to opening. And then you start doing things together. It may start off smaller, but that's where it is. And if you are seasoned and you're already doing Bible study with your children and doing that, the best thing to do is keep those same practical tips, but at the same time, start asking them questions, challenging them healthy. Like, what do you think the meaning of the scripture means? So sometimes, Faith and I, we have these little cards that we'll just one-liners because she is six, but maybe the child is older and she has her own prayer book. And then we can ask questions. What does this mean to you? And how can you apply it in your life today? Or when they come home, asking them questions. Who were you kind to today? Who did you share the word of God with today? And they don't have to use the word of God, but they could just through your example, through their actions. And then you as a parent, recognizing that they are watching you, they're going to ask you the same thing. Because kids have no problems calling you out if you are not following what they're preaching.
So true. And I'll piggyback off of that. I love that because kids are the most honest. I think if you're at home and you've got kids and you want to be more disciplined in different areas of your lives, just start doing it around your kids and they'll definitely call you out. They'll be like, "When aren't we supposed to be doing this?" But and I love that how you made it so simple. As far as if you haven't already built that foundation with your family and putting in your faith. And I love how faith's a big aspect of this. See, sometimes I don't get to go all in the faith aspects in some of these podcasts because, you know, I want to reach as many people as I can reach. But obviously, when we're going to lean into the faith, let's go.
That's right.
But I love that even, like, it's as simple as if you don't have a plan and you're here on, like, step one, it's putting that worship music, shifting that environment, and setting that atmosphere. Like, I love how my church is always like, our goal is to set an atmosphere for people to encounter Jesus. And if we can do that in our home, then that's going to build such a foundation in the future. Like you said, it started there and then it became scriptures and Bible studies. And then from there, now you're asking them questions. I love that. And it's always great to see the fruits of your labor. Like you said, like when my son's 2.5 and we declare, you know, God's word over him and pray with him and read the Bible. And it was funny. My wife was about to read the Bible with him again. And she had just recently talked about the scripture of, you know, how God cares about the birds and the sparrows. And he remembered that part. And he's still getting to learning how to speak. But he was like, birds? Jesus? Or like, we listened to this one specific worship song that says Jesus a bunch. And when he wants to hear it, he'll just start singing Jesus. Or he'll like be playing his drums and drums. But he has like little plastic drums.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You see my background. I play drums. So obviously he's inspired by that. But I would say to go deeper into those practicals is a lot of it goes back to modeling with our own lives. Because it's like you mentioned, I'm sure you're in your word daily or you're in your time with God and bringing them with you. I think that's another practical step. It's a lot of times we feel like we have to make it so complex and we have to have this full-on planned Bible study. And some people, that it doesn't work for them. And I would say, fine. What works for your space, your family, and really run with it.
One of the things that you talked about, and I want to share well, is that when you have that space in the home, and your children know themselves, because this is ultimately what you're doing. You're feeding them this food that is just whole and true and pure. So whatever you feed them, that's when they go out. It's like, oh, okay, I'm going to share this with other people. I noticed with Faith when she was going to her schools, sometimes she would just walk around and sing back to herself, and how she treated people based on the message that she was hearing at home. That is how she treated people out there. And when she felt scared, one of the things that she took from Abraham's story was that God is my shield. Because it says that in the God, and she just took God is my shield. Ask her about Abraham. She might be like, oh, God is my shield. And I would say, but you know, there's other things too. She's like, but even when he lied and his wife did this and that, I protected him and God was his shield. Now, I don't really want to lie because we're not supposed to lie, but God protected him because he went back to God and he said, what should I do? But when we don't go to God and we ask what we do, then we get into this problems. And that is what she remembered. She didn't remember anything else other than when I go to God, he's my shield and he's going to direct me. But then when I don't go to God, I end up in problems.
Wow, that's so great that she, even at such a young age, understands that. That's beautiful. I love that. Now, with this thought, and we could definitely sit and talk about children all day. But I think as parents, it's really easy for us to get so focused on empowering our children. But how can we as parents and caregivers empower ourselves while managing those responsibilities of raising confident kids?
Wow. Excellent question. And the one word I'm going to tell you is boundaries. You need to set those boundaries. And it's challenging at first, right? With the boundaries that you're setting, it leads into your self-care. So you let your children know, you know what, at this time, mommy, daddy, I need my space here, or you need your space there. Children understand. Oh, well, what are you doing? And you explain. Maybe I'm taking a bath, or I'm reading my book. So you need to, like, this is my time. It doesn't have to be for hours and hours. So you start setting the boundaries in the home where you are carving out the time for yourself and they are seeing that. So this is one thing. Then it leads into your self-care, and the self-care goes into your nutrition, right? What am I eating? You have to make these conscious decisions. What am I putting in my body? How am I supporting my physical health? How am I supporting my emotional health, my well-being? All of these things. For some, it might just be a face mask once a week. For others, it might be going to a spa. And for others, even deeper, it could mean having a coach, an accountability partner. It just depends. And then even deeper, when you with your partner, the exact same thing. You need your own time, but then spending time with your partner, having those clear guidelines. Like it's not a timetable or a calendar where you're scheduling in. It's not corporate world, but it's really having and opening up the communication factor with your partner and with yourself. And that is one of the things that stem from the boundaries that is going down and leads and filters out into those other areas. But I just leave it there because I could go on forever.
As I was taking notes, there's so many good things there. One thing in particular I like that you mentioned was at some point it could be very beneficial to get a coach and get those mentors, get those people in your life. I'm curious what, before we kind of dive into that too, I'll take kind of a little detour into that. But so a lot of things that I see too, and I'm sure you see it too with parents and with people that are both trying to take care of a household and either build a business or be very successful in a career, it's not easy to juggle. And I'm sure it can lead to what we hate to see, which is burnout. And as most people know, I tend to be burnout coach and I help people with that. So I'm just curious, maybe if you could just share a little bit of maybe what you've seen in your work with maybe your clients or just in general, when you hear the term burnout, well, what comes to mind for you?
Yeah. So burnout, obviously very real. And what you're doing is exceptional, you know, helping people to find the balance within themselves. And that comes with also setting the boundaries. And with burnout, you cannot do everything yourself. And that is the biggest key that many of us need to remember. You can't do it all yourself. The second aspect is that you need to build a community. Now, some people might say, well, it's just myself and my husband or my wife or, you know, whoever's listening, it's just us. Or, you know, I don't really trust other people. And all of these things start with where you are. And then you build your community outwards. Now, they don't have to know every single detail of what's happening in your life. It is not necessary. But what that community does is give you the support in the different areas that you will need help in. Maybe you have a friend that you walk. You can't go to the gym, but you guys do walking 3 times a week. That's part of a community. That's a support. She's helping you with your physical way, or he's helping you in that physical way. And then you start taking the time, like your time, and saying, okay, I'm blocking out these times. This is for either my family. I am putting time away from my work. Now, I understand if you are an entrepreneur, and it happened to me too, so I'm speaking also from experience, you will get like an email or something that you're working on, perhaps a course. And then it's like, no, I have to respond. Understandable. But remember, this is only for a short time. And at the same time, don't be answering somebody at like 1 o'clock in the morning. It is not necessary. No one's going to see that until they wake up.
I totally agree. And it's like you said, a great example of that is I was on date night with my wife and I caught myself responding to a Twitter DM about another podcast planning that. And I'm sitting there and I'm responding and I'm sitting across from my wife and she's just staring at me and she like stops talking and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm sorry, babe. I know it can wait. And that's so important. And time again, I find myself telling my clients and all of the people that I'm talking to is it's so important to be present with the person you're with right now. And granted, we're all human. We have some grace on ourselves, but also, and at the same, it's not even a but, it's an and be self-aware enough to know when it's time to turn away from that and focus on what's in front of you. Like for me in that moment, I was like, all right, I gotta recenter, take my phone, babe, because I can't even trust myself in this moment. And thankfully, and then once I was clear of the distraction, then I was able to reconnect with my wife. And it's so important for us to have that in our life. It goes back to building that community and cultivating that community.
That's right.
And that can even be within the home with your spouse and just being able to lean on each other. Because it's like you said, the fastest way to burn out is to believe like you have to do this all by yourself. Mm-hmm. And as men, and if I could speak to the men, for a moment, it's so easy for us to want to carry so much of the burdens and the weight that it takes of whether it's fatherhood or even our workplace. is I can encourage you with this. If you can delegate it, delegate it. If you can eliminate it, eliminate it. And if you can automate it, automate it. That's kind of what I'm always telling people. And if you can do those three things in your life, you will free up the time and mental space to be there and be present for those that matter most. Now, again, circling back to this idea of coaching, you do a bit of coaching yourself, right?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. So I coach educators and parents.
I love that. I think that's so cool. I think, as coaches, we see the need for a coach. And what's tough a lot of times I find is people don't see how much further you can go when you have that support from someone that's literally in your corner. And I'm curious just to hear kind of your thoughts on maybe someone's listening at home and they're either unaware that they need a coach or they're on the fence of getting a coach. What are some things that you would say to encourage them of the benefits that it would be to have that coach in their life?
Depending on the type of support you need, that you may not be able to receive at home, or you are receiving it at home, but you're not receptive to what you're receiving. This is a sign that, hey, you need a mentor, you need a coach. And what the coach does, depending on which genre you're doing, I'm just going to use fitness. Like you go to a gym, you have a coach that's going to train you. They're not just training you on lifting weights. That's one aspect. They're also training you on your nutrition, right? Yeah. Asking these questions. They're asking you, you know, what time you go to sleep? What supplements do you take? They're going deep into these questions that you would not see. Now, if you need a life coach, right? So you're going through burnout and they connect with you. It's, oh, okay, this life coach or the burnout coach is going to really go into your life and ask the questions. And then they're also not only asking the questions, but they've already seen the results and the impact of where you are, but also for the next like 3 to 5 years, because they're seeing the benefits of the long term and the short term. And they see the steps of what you have to do and where you have to take it. And in between that journey, it is not a straight line. The beauty of it, because it's a winding road and sometimes a huge hill you have to climb, they're with you and they're shifting things to help you and support you to grow and to come to a place and to a space where you can do it yourself or you can get to that next level. And that next level isn't to say, oh, I'm going to get to this next level and I'm going to be making all of this money or I'm going to be doing all of these things. That next level simply could be you're at peace with yourself. That next level could be like identifying where you need to be, your purpose. And it doesn't matter if you're 15 or 50 or, you know, 60. It does not matter. That peace within yourself and the purpose, your purpose, it is not too late because your purpose is ever evolving, ever growing, ever transforming, and the work that you're doing. So that is the short answer why you need a coach.
I love it. And I agree 100%. And to piggyback off of that, I think for a lot of people too that are indecisive or on the fence about getting a coach, it comes down to a few factors. One, they think that why do I need to add something else when I could just do this myself? And I mean, you can try to do it yourself, but it's like you said, like if you want to waste your time essentially, then by all means, go for that. But what if you had someone in your corner helping you figure out those things that could take you years to figure out? And it's funny because a lot of times when I'm with a client, sometimes it doesn't even take a full session for them to get the next step that they need. And that's where I'm like, we can set aside an hour, but sometimes you just need 10 minutes to hear another perspective or even talk it out. I think it's beautiful how, and it's funny, I've had people say, oh, what, I can't believe I'm paying for time for you to sit and listen to me. And it sounds so crazy, but it's there's just something that happens when you're able to get your thoughts out there in a space that's safe and you get to be heard. And things are unlocked with certain questions. Like I've been in coaching sessions and someone has mentioned something that they're going through and I'm like, but have you thought of it this way? And them thinking of it that way unlock that one key. And I love that you said to the point where they don't need someone else. And I think that's a huge achievement of us as coaches is when we're able to have our clients fire us essentially because they don't no longer need us. And I think that's what sets real coaches apart from this like sea of everyone and their dog wanting to be a coach is that idea of look for someone that truly has your best intentions in mind. They're not just trying to think of you as another number, but they truly care about you. And just hearing you just now, I can tell you're one of those people. And I love the work that you're doing. I definitely think it's valuable and it's needed. Like I feel like educators are so important and at the same time they're not valued enough. So I think it's amazing that you're helping that space. Same with parents. Parents is that full-time job that you don't get paid for. You get paid in hugs and memories, which honestly is much better than money. But at the same time, at the end of the day, sometimes you would like to eat and have a lifetime.
Of course. And, you know, parents experience burnout too.
Exactly.
It's so much we can invest so much. Sometimes we just pour everything into our children and we forget who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Or we pour everything into our work and then we forget who we are. So. Always finding that nice medium. I like to use this analogy. You know, when you go to the hospital, you see the beep machine, the beep, beep, right? They never want it to go beep all the way high and then beep all the way low. They like the line, but like little beeps, right? Little beeps, highs and lows, and long, kind of like along this nice line. And the reason why that works is because the line will always intersect. So the faster the beeps, you'll have like quicker alignment, right? And then your highs are highs and you're enjoying your highs and you love your highs, but they're not so high that they're extreme. And then when you hit a challenging part, it's not so low that you get into a depression or you get into burnout or you get into these massive anxiety, stress-ridden ways. They're just enough where you're like, okay, I just need to perhaps change my perspective. And so your coach does that. They help you to find that to be on the line and then also to even out the emotions that you're going through. So you're enjoying your highs and then you're learning from those low parts, but it's not so high in the extreme, low to the extreme that it takes longer to intersect, right? And then you're in a nice, peaceful state. And good coaches who have your best interests at heart, they get you to that space as efficiently as possible. And they take as long as you need to take, because some people, they're quick, they just need it. And then they may not need you for a moment, but then they come back because they get to a different level. They get to this different space in their life where they have evolved. And it's like, oh, now I've evolved. It's like, where do we go from here?
For sure. I love that. And I love that analogy. I like to say it. Pretty similar. I like to look at it. I call it the rhythm of rest. And it's that idea of, because some seasons are going to be more than others. And a lot of times we hear this, you know, work-life balance, family-life balance. And I feel like it's less of a balance and more of finding the rhythm. Because some seasons, it's going to be very family-focused. And then other seasons, it's going to be very work-focused. And finding those little blurps along the way where you can stay recharged and stay filled up. I think that's so good. But I won't take too much more of your time. I know you're a busy woman and you've got tons of things to do. But I just have a couple more questions for you. But before I get those questions, I'll definitely want to mention that if you're loving what you're hearing or watching right now, definitely check out the show notes. Give her a follow on all her socials. Connect with her if you are a parent or even if you're an educator, any of those things that like you hear what she's saying, you're like, I connect with that. I need more of this. Go take the 2 seconds now and go find her. And then on the flip side, if you aren't already following me and this channel, definitely give us a subscribe, follow us, do all those things. And I always don't like mentioning that because I feel like such a broken record and such a like those that person that's saying that. But truly, like the ultimate goal of saying that and having these conversations is to connect people with other people in a way that's going to build that community, that's going to help you get to where you want to go. And like, I don't know about you, but I know that I wasn't put on this earth to suck air and die. I wasn't put on this earth to just be average. And the key to unlocking that and getting over that average is surrounding yourself with people like Delisa, people like me and others in that space. But to say, I say all that to say, as we start wrapping up, I'm curious, I love to ask this question. So I want you to imagine you're at the end of your life and it's been everything that you could dream of and then some, and you're on your deathbed or you're on your final days. What would you want to be remembered for?
Ooh, that's such a good question. I want to be remembered for the work that I've done, the impact and the kindness that I've shown to others in helping them help others. So is that always that ripple effect? It's not about me, per se. What I'm doing is not about me. In all honesty, it is what was given to me in my heart. And it started off with the light from a child and what she wanted to share because it was given to her in her heart. So just that message, that message of kindness, that of compassion, that message of empowerment and leadership, for that message to continue to continue on to other generations, that would be the best thing because it is not about me at all.
So good. It's not about me. Amen. I agree.
Amen.
That's beautiful. Again, thank you so much for being a guest. I've enjoyed our conversation, and honestly, time has flown by faster than I thought it would. But with that said, I just have two more questions. One question.
Good.
One question's a new one that I'm interested to hear because I'm excited for that one. But I'll start with this one. So I like to flip it at the towards the end and ask my guests, since I'm doing all these questions, I like to ask my guests, do you have any questions for me?
Oh, people don't really do that. So this is interesting. My question that I would ask you is, what is the legacy you want other future generations to not only have instilled in them, but to continue on?
Oh, such a good question. Man, what's the legacy that I want future generations to be instilled and to push forward? I would say, first off, it would be understanding who you are, and I say it a ton of times, but like, we're human beings, not human doings. And so much of my life I spent trying to perform and to earn and to seek this approval and love and acceptance from everyone, and it took driving myself to burnout. And of course, lockdowns and everything shutting down to focus on what really matters. And through all those things, I learned again who I truly am. And it's out of who we are that we're able to create or do the amazing things that God has created us to do. But before we can do, we have to be. And like, understanding, and obviously with our faith, understanding we're a child, children of God. And it's out of that place that we're able to do amazing, great things for this world. And second, I would say just the value of being present and slowing down, especially the faster and faster pace our society gets. Like, I mean, look at TikTok videos and our attention spans being as quick as a goldfish. If we take those moments to slow down and be present with the person in front of us, and it's kind of like what you said too, it's like, it's not about you. Like, it's not about me. And like, if we could truly grasp that, like, obviously it's important to know who we are, but at the root of knowing who we are, we discover that life is so much bigger than just seeking this temporary happiness or this temporary pleasure. It's so much deeper than that. Like there's a true impact that we can make. And man, just and all the usual cliche ones too, like be kind, love people, like live more like Jesus. Like all of those come to mind too. But yeah, that's
yeah. Those are the main ones. I have a question for you.
What's up?
So every generation always, you know, we have children and they grew up with their own ideas. They always think they know. We were like that. Our children are gonna. Your children grow and they become teenagers and they feel like, okay, I know it all.
Yeah.
Perhaps they want to join a movement. It doesn't matter whether it's a movement, I don't know.
Right.
Or they feel like I was placed here to do this. And based on your life, based on everything, how do you feel you would respond? Or how would you want to respond to your children when you're seeing them going down either a path that, you know, it's can be scary because you see some of the outcomes, like potential outcomes, and or not only do you see it scary because you're seeing potential outcome, but you're thinking, right, but he's like, this is not the way you should go. How would you address that? And then that's my last question, because I know that's a tough one.
That is a difficult question. I think it comes down to addressing, and it's such a fine line. It's not accepting them believing a truth that's not necessarily the truth, but it's having conversations that are uncomfortable, that are extremely hard to have, but doing it in a way that shows them that they are seen and heard and that they are loved. And maybe they should, you know, weigh all the options before diving into this decision that's detrimental for so many. Man, that's a tough question. I should have framed that question and asked you that question. Man, that's...
You know what? I wanted to ask that question because I practice this with my daughter every time, every opportunity that I get. And the reason why I ask this is because people are not thinking in that way, right? They're always thinking, oh, when they're teenagers or whatever, then I'll deal with it. But that's just a tough year. But I found that if we look at it and address it very easily, but these small issues, for example, she would say, well, I want to go, what did she tell? Oh, she wanted to watch Squid Game. I knew nothing about Squid Games. This is not about my thing, right? She's yeah. like this kid, but because she saw a commercial on YouTube or there was like a cartoon on it, right? I was like, what is this Squid Games, for example? I was like, well, you can't do that. She said, well, why? Why can't I do that? They have it's like a fun show, for example, like she was saying. And so I took that moment to go through with her. Well, this yeah. is exactly why they don't, because they're doing certain things that one is not for you. And there's
good.
Other things that I had to address. But I approached it in that way because I'm preparing myself.
Come on.
Not really her, but myself.
Yes.
To be able to communicate to her when I see mm-hmm. something or she asks something or she brings up something that might seem scary in a conversation and she's not hiding it when she's older. Because yeah. so many children so good. Are hiding things from themselves, from their parents, from their friends, and they're becoming ashamed. And so now we're seeing the repercussions of it, which is not good. Yeah, yeah. But opening up the communication, but then again, pairing ourselves
uh-huh.
with the little thing.
The tiny ones. No, I that's yeah. so good. I love that. And even as you say that, I think about, because I think of it from the flip side. I think yes. of it, because we always think in our, and how we were brought up and yeah. how things were done. And even how you've seen like friends, like the super strict family that
yes.
leans, that could be religious or whatever it may be. And yeah. it drives them away from it. And yes. I think that there is a way to communicate where it becomes an open dialogue and it's mm-hmm. more like open arms. Is like I like have a visual. I just picture like it going two ways, like someone wanting to do something that's like purely defiant and evil. If we're getting real, if we're getting real, especially with
our
real,
it's true. Yeah,
like, if they're choosing to do that, and like in that moment, you can, with open arms, explain that that's not the way, opposed to just blatantly. And I love that she asked why, and it's in her questioning of why that we have the opportunity to instill the virtues, the morals, the needs of why that's not it. And yeah, and I totally agree. It's better to prepare yourself as a parent sooner than later. Like I already think. I mean, we're bombarded with all of the nonsense. Awesome. But I can even think of different shows that my sons wanted to watch too, that were just cartoons but had certain agendas and messages in it, and having to explain that's not it, and here's why. Because you were created this way for this. Oh, man, that's so good. We should have started there. I feel like we could.
I asked questions late. That's why.
No. I think that's so good. Man, it's been such a good conversation. And I don't want it to end.
Me either. I really loved it. I really loved it. Yes.
But with that said, I definitely do, again, appreciate you for taking the time to have this conversation. And more than that, I appreciate the new connection that we've made, and definitely don't be a stranger. I look forward to having more conversations with you in the future and seeing your content and supporting what you're doing and vice versa. And the last question I have, so I was listening to another podcast and I love that he did this. So I wanted to start doing it on mine. So you'll be the first to ask the question for the future. So then like future ones. So I'm sorry, I don't have a question for you, but the way that he did it, he ended it by asking, which this will be like saved for a future, the following episode. But my next guest after you, I would love for you to ask a question for them. So they'll have to answer.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's a good way, and a good way to network too, because then everyone has to listen in. And so really we're community building. Kudos to you. That's great community building. A question that I would have for your next guest is.
Was that not a fire conversation? I know you're going to leave better than before you tuned into it. And if you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to hit the subscribe button on screen. And if you want to continue watching more inspiring and encouraging content, you can click here. If you really got something out of this, or if you have any feedback so that we can make this show even better, don't hesitate, drop a comment below. As always, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.